إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with لمعة الاعتقاد, the creed, the book of creed compiled by Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last time, which was 2 weeks ago now, we had the beginning of the quote of Imam al-Shafi'i that the Imam Ibn Qudama quotes in his book here, amongst the quotes which he quotes from the Salaf in affirmation of the creed of the Salaf with regard to Allah's names and attributes and the principles therein. Then we had the beginning of the quote of Imam al-Shafi'i. We had the explanation of just the first part. So just to remind ourselves of that, then he said, قال الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد بن إدريس الشافعي رضي الله عنه آمنت بالله وبما جاء عن الله على مراد الله وآمنت برسول الله وبما جاء عن رسول الله على مراد رسول الله وعلى هذا درج السلف وأئمة الخلف رضي الله عنهم كلهم متفقون على الإقرار والإمرار والإثبات لما ورد من الصفات في كتاب الله وسنة رسوله من غير تعرض لتأويله وقد أمرنا باقتفاء آثارهم والاهتداء بمنارهم وحذرنا المحدثات وأخبرنا عنها من الضلالات فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. The saying of Imam al-Shafi'i رضي الله عنه ورحمه الله, that the Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i رضي الله عنه said, I have Iman in Allah and in whatever came from Allah upon what was intended by Allah, and I have Iman in Allah's Messenger and in whatever came from Allah's Messenger upon what was intended by Allah's Messenger. And upon this way the Salaf, the predecessors, proceeded, and the Imams of the later people, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, all of them are in agreement upon acknowledging and allowing them to pass on as they are, and upon affirming whatever attributes occur in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of His Messenger, without making any attempt to interpret its meaning away. And we have been commanded to follow in their tracks and to follow their signposts. And we have been warned against the newly invented matters, and we have been informed that they are affairs of misguidance. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, adhere to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa after me. Bite upon it with your molar teeth and beware of newly introduced affairs, for every newly introduced affair is an innovation and every innovation is misguidance. Then with regard to the first part of the saying that we had last week, then instead of asking the usual questions, making it easy for you inshallah, because of the 2 week gap, I'll just mention some of the points that came up in the explanation. So first of all, we had the point that the Imam al-Shafi'i, this being of course just some of the points, just a reminder of some of the points that we should have got hold of. That the great Imam, Imam al-Shafi'i, that he was, his kunya was Abu Abdullah, and he was from the tribe of Quraysh, he was a descendant of Al-Muttalib ibn Abd Manaf. Abd Manaf being a descendant also of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in his saying he made it clear that we have Iman in Allah's attributes upon what was intended by Allah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan explained, meaning, what does that mean when we say, and Imam Shafi'i said, we have iman in Allah's attributes, in whatever came from Allah, upon what was intended by Allah, meaning, we do not do ta'wil of it. We don't interpret it away to mean something different to what's apparent. And we don't distort its meaning. And the same with regard to whatever came from Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, we had a very important definition of what is required from the testification, Muhammadun Rasulullah, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And that is, that Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the meaning of that testification is ta'atuhu fima amar, to obey him in whatever he commanded, wa tasdiquhu bima akhbar, and to attest to the truth of whatever he informed of, wajtinabu ma naha anhu wa zajar, and to keep away from whatever he forbade and prohibited, وَأَنْ لَا يُؤْبَدَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ, and that Allah should not be worshipped except with what He legislated. We also had a point that Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, that from the iman in whatever the man was just preceded here, having iman in whatever came from Allah as intended by Allah, and likewise whatever came from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was the way of the Salaf which they proceeded upon, and the Imams of later times who proceeded upon their way also. None of them raised any objections with regard to the texts of Allah's attributes. And the objections only arose after the passing away of the three most excellent generations. Then, when rhetoric and philosophy entered within this ummah, then people started to raise objections to the texts about Allah's attributes. We also had a point, a very important point, that the belief and the creed and the way of the Salaf will indeed continue from the earliest times to the later times, right to the end of the time, in accordance with the hadith that Shaykh al-Fawzan quoted, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله تبارك وتعالى. The hadith reported by Muslim from a hadith of Thawban رضي الله عنه, that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there will not cease to be a group from my ummah manifest upon the truth. They will not be harmed by those who desert them. I mean those who were within them before and then leave and desert them. وَلَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ, nor by those who oppose them from outside, until the command of Allah, the Exalted and Most High, comes about. And Imam Shafi'i made clear that this position of theirs, the position of the Salaf and those who follow them upon good, is to acknowledge these texts with regard to attributes, and other than them, to acknowledge them and to allow them to pass on just as they occur. As Shaykh al-Fawzan said, again, without ta'wil, without interpreting them to mean something different, and without tahrif, without distorting their meaning to something else. Accepting them and allowing them to pass with their wordings and their meanings. And he made the point that upon us is indeed to follow the Salaf, as was indicated by the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was quoted, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, adhere to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa, caliphs after me. So they've been the first and foremost of the Salaf, that we're ordered to cling to their way. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us in that same hadith against innovations, matters newly introduced into Islam, as occurred in the hadith of Jabir, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly mentioned at the end of the hadith that every innovation is misguidance, that every new thing introduced is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. And Shaykh al-Fawzan he gave a definition for the Sunnah and said what is meant by the Sunnah when it said follow, we have to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what is meant by his Sunnah is whatever is established from him, from sayings, actions, and tacit approvals. Then the quote of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, it continues with the part that we didn't take the explanation for. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي. He said, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, adhere to my sunnah. This occurring on page 59 of the Egyptian version that most of us have got hold of. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa, caliphs after me. That's where the hadith starts. Hadith starts on page 59. We actually reached to page 60. And we had the explanation of the first part of the hadith, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, adhere to my sunnah. And we already had the explanation of that. The Shaykh al-Fawzan said, what is meant by the sunnah is whatever is established from him, from sayings or actions or tacit approvals. And then he continued. Then with regard to the second part of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي, and to the sunnah of the rightly guided orthodox khulafa after me. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, this being, as the brother pointed out, on page 60, he said, he described them as being Rashideen, rightly guided. And a rushed guidance is the opposite of Al-Ghay. A rushed guidance is the opposite of Al-Ghay, being astray. And it means rushed guidance. It means Al-Huda, guidance. Wa'tiba'ul Haqq, and following the truth. That's what's meant by rushed guidance and following the truth. And its opposite, he said, and al-ghay, being astray, is al-dalal wal-inhiraf anil-haq. And being astray is misguidance and deviation away from the truth. So they, in the four khulafa who mentioned the hadith, they are rashidun, rightly guided. Radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. And then he described them with a further description. So he said, Al-Mahdiyin, orthodox ones. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning those whom Allah guided to following the truth. And whoever follows someone who is rightly guided, then he himself is rightly guided. Then the hadith continues, Abdu alayha bin nawajidh, bite onto it with your molar teeth. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Abdu alayha, bite onto it. He said, meaning to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, or his rightly guided khulafa. And this means, I mean, what is meant by abdu alayha, bite onto it? He said this means clinging very strongly to something. For it is said, abda alayhi bin nawajidh. It's said in the Arabic language, this phrase is used, Adda alayhi bin nawajid, he bit onto it with his molar teeth. This is said when he strongly adheres to it. like a drowning person. He falls in, and he has a rope along with him. Then he will cling onto this rope so that he does not drown. And if he fears that it may slip from his hands, then he will bite onto it with his molar teeth. From his eagerness to cling on to this rope, because it is the means to his being saved. So the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like this rope in the hand of a person who is drowning. If he lets go of it, he will be destroyed. And the hadith, the text and the hadith continues, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and beware newly introduced affairs. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, adherence to his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then forbade al-muhdathat, he then forbade the newly introduced affairs, which is, I mean, muhdathat is the plural of muhdatha, muhdathatun, something newly introduced. And it is every bid'ah, every innovation which the mubtadi'ah, the people of innovation, have introduced. And innovation and newly introduced affairs is to introduce something newly into the religion, into the deen, which had not used to be from it. This, or these, are innovations. And things that were not part of Islam originally, then people have later on introduced them into it. These are bid'ah, innovations. Just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd. Just as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it is rejected. The hadith, as I mentioned, a footnote being reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Muslim from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And in one narration, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. And in one narration of the hadith, one wording of the hadith, that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it is rejected. Again, in the footnote they mention, this is again reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, but also by Al-Bukhari with this wording, as hadith 2697, and by Muslim, again from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan comments, so the affairs of the religion do not allow any new introductions and additions. Rather, it is obligatory to adhere to them in letter and spirit without any addition. So the word إِيَّاكُمْ, I mean the word used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِيَّاكُمْ, is a word of warning. And the same as we had in yesterday's lesson, in explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, the point brought by the noble Sheikh, Sheikh Abdullah al-Ghudayan, where again the word came up, Hafidhullah, the word إِيَّاكُمْ is a word of warning, means beware of this thing. When it's used in this sense here, it's a word of warning, إِيَّاكُمْ. Beware of newly introduced affairs. Then the saying of Imam al-Shafi'i continues with the end of the hadith, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. For every newly introduced affair is an innovation, And every innovation is misguidance. Rahmatullah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said in explanation, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For every newly introduced affair is an innovation. The Sheikh said, this is something total and universal. Mean that the kulla, inna, fa inna kulla, every, mean this every here, is an overall and universal every, covering everything falling beneath it. Covering everything, so it's total and universal. Every new introduction in the religion is a bid'ah, is an innovation. And there is not a new introduction in the religion which is something good, or an innovation in the religion which is hasana, which is good, as is said by the people of misguidance, or those who are deluded by what is said, that there is a bid'ah hasana, that there is a good, there are some good innovations. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, the religion has no good innovation in it at all. Then he gives the evidence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for every new introduction is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so the person who says there is a good innovation, bid'ah hasana, then he is rebutting the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's refusing to accept, he's sending back the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger says, كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every new introduction is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. And this person is saying, there are some good innovations. They are not misguidance. So this is opposition to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no good innovation in the religion whatsoever. So all innovations are misguidance. This hadith is a tremendous principle which refutes every innovator who declares innovations to be good for the people and says they are good and they contain reward and they invigorate upon worship, and they have such and such, and such and such. Sheikh Fawzan said, we say, innovations have no good in them, and they have no reward with them. All of them are misguidance, and all of them are evil, and all of them are rejected from their people. Sufficient for us is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. It contains all good and sufficiency. Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 3. With the explanation, this day have I completed your religion for you. Meaning, as occurs in the authentic narration, this has occurred in the of Umar radiallahu anhu. He mentioned, I know which day this came down on, which place this came down on, which day this came down on, until the end of the narration. Meaning, it came down on the year of the final Hajj, the 10th year after the Hijrah, within the Hajj, on Friday, the day of Arafat, in Arafat. And this ayah came down, that the religion is completed. So then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, commenting, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not pass away, he did not die, until Allah had completed the religion through him. So whoever comes wanting to introduce an addition after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he is implicitly accusing his Lord of lying. And someone who wants to come along after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, this should be in Islam, this is something good, something new, wasn't there, then Shaykh al-Fawzan said he is implicitly accusing his Lord of lying. Why? Because Allah says, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, with the explanation, I have completed your religion for you. So then he, meaning this person who comes along claiming there's good innovations, something good can be added to Islam later on, he said, he adds something from himself to the religion. Then he is giving the lie to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Or he is implicitly accusing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam of concealing something. That Allah sent these matters down to him, those things which his innovator holds to be good, but the Messenger hid them and did not clearly explain them to his nation. I mean, Shaykh al-Fawzan is making clear the point here. Anyone who wants to come along after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bring something new and say this is something good, this is something in Islam, then he's doing one of two things. Either he's accusing Allah of lying when he said that he completed the religion in this ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah. That's not true. Either he's claiming that this is not true, or secondly, he's claiming that Allah did complete the religion, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't convey it to his nation. He kept it hidden. He kept that bit hidden, that bit that they claim. So the Prophet ﷺ, they're claiming implicitly that he hid something there. One of those two. Of course, both of which are evil. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point, and explanation of the saying of Imam al-Shafi'i. And just as a further addition, a nice quote from Imam Malik, who said the same thing here. Again, just to stress again, this is an addition, a side point, addition to what occurs here. A fine quote from Imam Malik saying the same thing that Shaykh al-Fawzan, because some may find it, might think it looks a bit harsh there from Shaykh al-Fawzan to say that this is what the person is implying or the like. Well, likewise Imam Malik said, rahimahullah. So Imam al-Shatibi mentions in his book Al-I'tisam, he said, Ibn al-Majishun, famous student of Imam Malik, Ibn al-Majishun said, I heard Imam Malik saying, whoever introduces an innovation into Islam, which he thinks is something good, then he has claimed that Muhammad was treacherous to his messengership. Because Allah says, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. The same ayah. Because Allah says, the ayah with the explanation, this day have I completed your religion for you. Ya Rahmakallah. So whatever, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُونُ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. So whatever was not religion on that day, it will not be religion today. End of the quote from Imam Malik. Rahimahullah. Again, as a second and final side point here, something from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, that he said, he gives us two points which are contained within the speech of Imam al-Shafi'i. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said in his explanation, the speech of Imam al-Shafi'i contains that which follows. Firstly, having iman in whatever came from Allah the Most High, in his clear book, upon what was intended by Allah, without adding anything, and without deleting anything, and without distorting. Secondly, having iman in whatever came from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was intended by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without adding, without deleting, and without distorting. And this speech contains a refutation of the people of ta'wil, contains a refutation of the people of misinterpretation, of ta'wil, and of the people of tamthil, those who declare resemblance between the creator and the creation. Because each one of them does not truly believe in what came from Allah and His Messenger upon that which was intended by Allah and His Messenger. Because the people of ta'wil, the people of misinterpretation, they have taken something away, they have reduced, they made a deduction. And the people of tamthil, those who liken the creator to the creation, have added something, have made an addition. Then to continue with the main text of the book, then the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, he continues and brings a quote from the noble companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. So he said, وَقَالَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ اتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَبْتَدِعُوا فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ اتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَبْتَدِعُوا فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, follow and do not innovate, for you have been sufficed. Follow and do not innovate, for you have been sufficed. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was from the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen, al-Muhajireen. He was from the first and foremost Muslims, from the Muhajireen, those Muslims of Mecca who migrated to al-Madinah. He stood out in knowledge and piety and worship and alayhi wasallam. So he was from the greatest of the scholars amongst the companions, and from their jurists, from those having knowledge of fiqh. He, radiallahu anhu, says, ittabi'u, follow. And again, side point, something slightly in addition with regard to his biography, and his kunya, the kunya of Ibn Mas'ud, was Abu Abdurrahman, and he was Al-Hudhali. In later life he settled in Kufa, in the city of Kufa, and he died, he came in a deputation at the end of his life to Al-Madinah, and he died in the city of Al-Madinah in the year 32, at the age of 60 something. And he's known, and you'll find his name mentioned in certain hadith as Ibn Ummi Abd. So if you hear the companion, Ibn Ummi Abd, then it means Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And back to the text, Shaykh al-Fawzan brings the start of the saying of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, ittabi'u, follow. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning whatever comes in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is similar to his saying, he the Most High, ittabi'u ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 3. With the explanation, follow that which has been sent down to you from your Lord. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the second part of his saying, وَلَا تَبْتَدِعُوا, and do not innovate. Shaykh said, this is a prohibition of innovating. So this is also in conformity with the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ, to the end. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. In this saying of Ibn Mas'ud, this first two parts of the saying, they fully accord with the hadith that we just had before in the text. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adhere to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the khulafa. And he's saying, and beware of newly introduced matters. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and then he said, radiallahu anhu, faqad kufitum, for you have been sufficed. Meaning, you have been sufficed from any trouble. You do not need to make any addition and to trouble yourselves. It is sufficient for you to act upon whatever occurs in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said. So what is obligatory is to closely follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, and to follow also the companions of Allah's Messenger, those who were the students of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, as was indicated by the end of the hadith, adhere to my sunnah, or the middle part of the hadith, adhere to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. So the Shaykh said, based upon that, and also to follow the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who were the students of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then, this is one of their major ones, Ibn Mas'ud. This is one of their major ones, and one of the most excellent of them, counseling us with this tremendous counsel. Ittabi'u wa la tabtadi'u, faqad kufitum. Follow and do not innovate, for you have been given sufficiency. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, there remains no room for anyone to add or delete, and to invent matters for the people, thinking that they are good, and that they draw someone closer to Allah. So therefore it is obligatory upon the student of knowledge, whenever something occurs to his mind, which he thinks is something good, and he wants to say it or write it, then let him look and see. Is this something which occurs in the Book of Allah and in the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger? Did anyone from the Salaf say it? So if he finds it, this thought that occurred to his mind, he thinks in the religion, this from what he's studied, this seems like something good. As the Shaykh said, then he should look into the Book of Allah, into the Sunnah, into what the Salaf said, and see, is it there or is it not there? He said, if he finds it, then all praises for Allah. He has been guided to correctness. But if he does not find it, then he should beware. And he should move away from this thing which appeared to him. And he should know that it is bid'ah, it isn't innovation. And then he moves on this point, mentioning some people who don't follow this path. He said, some students of knowledge, they bring new phrases and new wordings, and they have erred away from correctness in doing this. So it is not permissible for anyone to come with a phrase from himself, or to pierce too far and to delve too deeply, and to come with meanings which were not said by the Salaf, nor understood by them, particularly in the matter of al-asma wa sifat, particularly in the matter of names and attributes. He should beware of saying a word which those who preceded from the Salaf al-Salih, from the pious predecessors, did not say. He should beware of saying a word which they didn't say. Ibn Mas'ud said, Kufitum, you have been sufficed. So, we have no scope for delving too deeply into texts and bringing out an explanation which was not said by the Salaf al-Salih, which was not said by the righteous and pious predecessors, or that we say phrases which were not said by the righteous pious predecessors as Salaf al-Salih. This is a tremendous principle, that you do not give yourself free rein. You don't let yourself go and do whatever you feel like. You do not give yourself free rein, particularly in the matter of the names and attributes, or that you mention meanings which were not mentioned by As-Salaf al-Salih. You should avoid this, because this is where people's feet slip. And you are safe and secure, and all praises for Allah. You've got no need for doing that. Doing things where people's feet slip. You've got no need to enter into that. You've been sufficed. You're safe and secure. Don't do it. And he said, how many times have we seen some writers and authors of this time committing errors in using phrases and terminologies which they thought to be something good, and they wrote them, when actually they were errors which they had not been proceeded upon, particularly in books of creed and belief. This is a major mistake. It is obligatory to stop and withhold. So everything which the Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, did not say, it's obligatory upon us to avoid it. This is the path of salvation. Then he said, have we reached the knowledge of the Salaf? Have we reached their level of knowledge? Or have we equaled them in knowledge such that we could compete with them in using phrases and in understanding the texts? We have not reached this level. And then, they were more profound than us in knowledge and in understanding, because they took directly from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أغزر الناس علما وأقلهم تكلفا قوم اختارهم الله لصحبة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said in a different saying about the companions, they are the companions of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the people most abundant in knowledge, and the ones who are least in unnecessarily overburdening themselves. They were chosen by Allah to be companions of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the people who were most abundant in knowledge were the companions, and those who were least in takalluf, least in unnecessarily overburdening, meaning entering into unnecessary things, people who were least in that, they were the ones who were least in doing that. They did not go beyond what was required. They did not go beyond what was necessary, nor plunge too deeply into wordings. Rather, they took what was required from the book and the sunnah without entering into unnecessary things and into splitting wordings. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this quote of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And just very finally, then this quote of Ibn Mas'ud brought by the Imam here, the saying of Ibn Mas'ud is reported amongst others by Ad-Darimi and by Tabarani and by Waqi in his book Az-Zuhd, and declared Sahih, authentic, by Shaykh al-Albani in his checking of the book Al-Ilm of Abu Khaythama. And the end of the wording has the phrase that Ibn Mas'ud finished, wa kullu bid'atin dalala, and every innovation is misguidance. In the same as the Prophet ﷺ said. Walhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. And the next quote brought by Muqaddam is a quote from the famous Khalifa, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Any points of clarification? Shaykh al-Bani authenticated this quote from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, who said, it's reported, some of the checkers and verifiers mentioned, it's reported by Ad-Darimi and Tabarani and Waqi' in his book Az-Zuhd, and a number of others report it. And declared authentic, sahih, by Shaykh al-Albani in his checking of the book Al-Ilm. Which incidentally is a book which has been translated. Get a hold of. With regard to the last ayah to be revealed and the people of knowledge, they differ slightly about which ayah was the last ayah to be revealed. As far as I know, what is correct is that this ayah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, from Surah Al-Ma'idah, that after this no rulings and ahkam were sent down. But there were further admonishments. And the last ayah that some of the people of knowledge mentioned to come down in accordance with some authentic narrations from some of the Salaf is the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That's the ayah 200. Towards right near the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. That was the last ayah which came down altogether. Before the ayah about the debt, ayah of the Dain, just before. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون. Ayah 281 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allahu A'lam. And then the scholars who say that, and the people from the Salaf who say that, they say, oh, this came down just before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, so in case someone says, but how do we understand that this ayah came down on the day of Arafah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, this day have we completed your religion for you? And that was on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived on for about 3 months after that. Ayah came after that. Then the explanation is that the ayah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, from Surah Al-Ma'idah, which came down in Arafah, after this no rulings came down. The religion was complete. The orders and prohibitions in the religion were finished. No more came down after that. Only all that came down after were ayahs with regard to admonition, like the ayah that was mentioned there. Wallahu a'lam. جزاك الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.